IVM.
Hello and welcome to the Habit Coach Podcast. I'm Ashton Doctor, your habit coach. And today we're going to be deep diving into understanding entrepreneurship, focus, understanding where your health comes into all of this, and then figuring out how to franchise it all out. So we have a very special guest with us, Dheeraj Gupta. Dheeraj, welcome to the Habit Coach Podcast.
Hey, Ashton. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
My pleasure. Dheeraj, quickly, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what all you do?
Okay. So hi, everyone. This is Dheeraj Gupta. I'm founder and managing director at Jumbo King, the burger born in India. And we are now officially the third largest burger brand in the country. And we are a food company. And the idea is to create, not the first, maybe one of the many, many billion dollar food brands which are going to emerge from this country. India has a very, very vast variety of menu and, you know, the cuisines that are available. And I think India's time has come to take on and take India out into the world.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you start thinking all India and if you start thinking about raising India, then you're not thinking only about your business as something small, but you're thinking about something much larger.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, have for the longest time, you know, as a student of marketing, as a student of finance in MBA, I was very keen to find out how things happen. How did other people achieve when they started? Because, you know, people, did they have already have a lot of people agreeing with them? So if you look at sports, right? So it took a PV Sindhu to go and win at the world level for us Indians to start believing in ourselves that we can do something in badminton, right?
Correct.
And then, you know, you have, Saina Nehwal was the first one who won. So my bad. So, you know, then people keep coming and we are like suddenly...
They're like, oh, it's possible. So
it's possible and Indians are good at badminton. Mm. So when that keeps on happening in other fields, which will happen in all, you know, sports arenas, I think we will start believing ourselves. So, but the first person has it the toughest.
Correct.
So my daughter used to play table tennis when she was 10 years old. And what I realized is that the ambition of the coaches at that time was to get a railway job and an NBA job. Hmm. People were not thinking of an Olympic medal.
Correct.
So, you know, I need to see that kind of stuff happening, you know, for the future generations to do well.
I think that's the thing, right? The environment that you create for yourself. Hmm. How are they thinking? Where is it that they're going? It's going to definitely guide you in that direction. If you're thinking, if everyone's thinking small, you can't possibly think bigger than that.
Okay, absolutely. And as a 10-year-old, you have your coach who has to think for you, right?
Correct.
But as a 35-year-old businessman, as a 40-year-old businessman, you're thinking for yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
And in fact, so I've known you for many, many years in the past, and I know how focused you are and how driven you were at that point of time when we were working together. Tell me, where does that come from? How does that focus arise?
Okay, that's a good question because I come from a family of entrepreneurs and it was my grandfather who really was the rags to riches story. And, you know, there are so many books that have been written about how the first generation makes money, the second generation maintains it, and the third generation loses it.
Correct.
So technically, I'm the third generation.
Ayla.
So I
think... To prove everybody wrong.
No, so I think we got lucky where somewhere I felt that, you know, I've been lucky to have been born into this family. What if I can make this wealth into 100x? And because it's a platform which has been provided to a platform to play with, to grow with,
correct,
right? Not to waste away. So somewhere that came in and it worked.
So that was that one idea, that ambition about saying that whatever I've been given, how do I take this as a launching pad for something bigger? That is the mindset that...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, so, you know, I had started reading after my MBA. Hmm. Our professor, he used to have this entire library and tabhi WhatsApp nahi tha. So there was, you know, we could not message our friends. So we used to pass around chits, you know, if we meet after lunch or we meet whatever, you know, that issue happened. So we never took those lectures seriously. And the library periods were always meant to only make plans, right? But then the moment I finished my college, I got bitten by this entrepreneurial bug and I wanted to find out, you know, how did Ray Kroc build McDonald's? What we see today is very different. But what were the first 5 stores, the first 10 stores? How did they happen? Did he have a lot of money? Did he have a very large market? Did he, you know, how easy or difficult was it for him? And I found that it was bloody tough.
Yeah.
There people were not believing what he was doing because he was very focused on hamburgers. Actually, it was started by the McDonald's brothers.
Right? Yeah.
By the McDonald's brothers, and then Ray Kroc took it from them. But they did not believe in the scale ka potential. Mm. Why it was Ray Kroc who came in with that understanding. Then I want, you know, got in scale was how was Starbucks built? How did Howard Schultz start the first store? And how did Fred DeLuca build Subway? Right. So fascinating stories of how each of these entrepreneurs had no one except themselves believing in what they were doing. And they have built multi-billion dollar brands, which are iconic and, you know, spread all across the world. And
you said something so important. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Which is this aspect that nobody believed in what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Right. People will laugh at you when you tell them your dreams. Right. That's how it starts off with. Did you also face that as well? People like, was just like...
Oh yeah, it was, for me, it was crazy because as I said, you know, I came from a reasonably well-to-do family and my first business, I had read this report by McKinsey that the Indian Mithai business is a 10,000 crore business. Freshly, you know, I'm a freshly minted MBA and I'm like, wow, this looks like a huge opportunity. Untapped.
Mithai.
And we were from that business. Our family background was Mithai.
Okay.
So I'm like, wow, I'm going to organize this. And at the age of, I think in the first two and a half years, I had lost about 55 lakh rupees of, and it was, at that time, it was a lot of money.
Correct.
And I was super underconfident, because ye kya ho gaya? You know, life is supposed to be very easy. Our MBA, my project reports were very good. I used to score well. And this was perfectly researched. I had done all my homework. How could this have gone wrong?
Correct. Paper, it was perfect.
Paper, it was, it should have worked.
Yeah, correct.
And it did not. And then for a year, you know, I was not doing anything because I had to figure out, you know, what went wrong. And the next idea that comes to me is that let us brand the Vada Pav. Hmm. And that's how Jumbo King was born. And I think my dad must have been like, I got spent so much money on your education, right? I got you to do a hotel management. That's what you wanted to do. And we said, Mat kar, Bavarchi banega, but you wanted to do that. Then you did your MBA and we told you go abroad. Your brother has gone abroad. You said, Mujhe India mein karna hai, because if I have to do business in India, I'd rather do my MBA here. Mm. So like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you do anything straight? Mm. You start a mithai business, which bombs. Now you want to do vada pav of all things. I said that no, I feel this has a lot of potential. And I think my friends used to tease me. They said, you're not telling us, you've been thrown out of the family. Otherwise, you know, why the hell would an MBA start a vada pav business?
Correct.
But I was doing my research and said, but the one of the largest categories which is organized was this entire vada pav business. It was, let us go ahead and organize it. It's a different story that now we are a burger. We'll come to that.
Correct.
Yeah.
The transition took place somewhere. The pivot happened. But to end with the Mithai story. 55 lakhs gone. One is, what is your mindset? How do you know that, okay, bus ho gaya, I need to try something else?
Yeah, so I think that's a great, great question, because when I reflect back, so we had to increase shelf life of Mithai for it to work, because we had to package it. And I was going to DRDO. DRDO is Defense Research Organization. They do all the food research on how to increase shelf life of food for people, for our army, which is fighting at Siachen Glacier, etc. Right? So they have a lot of scientists. Then there's something called CFTRI, right? They were doing research on how to increase shelf life of foods. And what I realized is increasing the mithai, the shelf life of Indian sweetmeats, which are milk-based or, you know, mawa, khoya-based, is very difficult. And so there are some materials which naturally lend themselves to increasing their shelf life, like chocolates is something which falls in that category. And the packaging materials were not available in India at that time. I'm talking of 1998, 99, when, you know, we were not where we are today as a country. So the packing material was available in Malaysia, but just importing it and then packing the Indian food and then taking it to market, it would have cost a bomb. Plus, as in, I'm sure even today a heart would sink if someone gives you a rasgulla and says, hey, this is 3 months old. You're like, hurry, boss, what are you
fresh
doing? It is 3 months old. So it was a mindset which would have to get changed.
Correct.
And which would require a lot of investment in marketing. And I realized that, boss, I'm completely undercapitalized. Mm. I cannot do concept selling.
Correct.
So that's when I said, okay, not the right time. I should get out of it. And this is a free idea I'm giving out on your podcast. Mm. It is still a $1 billion opportunity. Mm. And if someone wants to do it, I'm happy to.
It's a sweet deal.
Yeah. I'm happy to be their guide.
Mm. But like mithai, matlab, you don't put more sugar in it and the shelf life increases. Not one of those
of
things. No. It's not like jams. It's just like.
Sugar will be attacked first by the bacteria.
Ah, that
yes,
way.
They love it.
Cancelled plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So then mithai ended and then you thought of Jumbo King and Vada Pav and moving from there.
Yes.
What was that like? What was the initial journey of that part?
So I was very, you know, largely influenced by this person. His name is Al Rice. Mm. He's written this book called Focus. And in this that book, he has talked about why, you know, almost 98% of all brands that you and I consume, they come out of the US.
Mm. Oh, it's interesting.
Yes. Okay. So burgers. Mm. So say food. Mm. Pizza is Italian food, but gets branded by America. An American.
Correct. Domino's, right? And all of that. Correct.
Domino's, mm. Pizza Hut, mm. coffee, all of these brands, Coke, Nike, Adidas, any of
the
these
product
brands
came
that
from
you
other
see,
places, but the brand came from America.
Brand creation is happening in America. So what is it that they are doing differently, which the world is not understanding? Mm. Right. So they talk about focus, how American companies, they are laser sharp focused on one consumer need, mm. and then they exclude everything else. And then they go and attack that market opportunity. While in India, and I think rest of most of the world, we try to go with, hey, no, if I'm opening a family restaurant, I need the father, I need the mother and the kid and the grandfather also to have something to eat.
Correct.
While the same McDonald's when, or, you know, Domino's, when it opens up in India, we quietly go and have a burger at the McDonald's store and a pizza at the Domino's store. But just for example, like a Shiv Sagar, you want to go and have everything under the sun.
Correct. I'm right? going to a South Indian restaurant to have Pav Bhaji.
Yes,
like, that is the
yes, it happens. It happens all the time. And so there's, of course, a lot. There's you do an 80-20 analysis on your menu. All restaurateurs should do it and they can do it. And they'll realize that people actually pick their favorites. Mm. So Ashton, let me ask you, what is your favorite South Indian food?
Dosa.
Where do you go for it?
Any of these small little places that are popular for dosas.
So which one was the last one you visited?
There's one place in Lower Parel, I forget the name.
Okay. Mm. So Chinese food.
Chinese food.
Where do you go?
Don't have Chinese food actually.
Okay. So what is your favorite food?
Right now steaks. So there's a place called La Loka Maria that I like in Bombay that has steaks. So that's what I'm at.
So you will go to that restaurant for that same steak
for
every
the dish.
Time. For the dish.
And I take my friends for that dish.
For the dish.
Like, let's go here. I want you to have the steak that I like.
So the common mistake restaurateurs make is to increase sales, they add more menu.
Correct.
While they actually need to remove everything else mm. and become even better at what they are really famous for.
Mm. But so that's the exact opposite of the Baskin-Robbins model, right? That is, Baskin, you have lots of flavors and people only buy two.
They have 31 flavors. Mm. That's why it's 31 Baskin-Robbins.
Correct.
But still, the focus is around ice creams only. Hmm. They are not going and adding
Waffle cone and waffle.
Yes, so many other things.
Hmm.
So any brand you'll see which has become large, hmm. They have a very clear focus. And that's how, you know, that's what we realize, that there's something which is going wrong. And I'd much rather, you know, learn from the American companies because they are more successful
hmm.
and drop this excuse of it works in America and it will not work in India.
Correct. You know, before this podcast, we were discussing about your habits and we'll get into that. But what are the habits of companies? You know, it's very interesting to think of it as, oh, only, you know, individuals have habits. But companies also have habits, like in the form of their systems and processes, because that's ultimately what habits are. Have you identified certain things that companies over the, you know, the entire gambit do extremely well, like three things that they do extremely well, which are fantastic habits for us to follow?
So I think we picked this up at one of the training programs that I had gone to. You know, there's this business coach by the name of Rajiv Talreja. Mm. And he spoke of the three C's, which is that a company really needs to do very well. And the management needs to do really well. The first C was clarity, mm. you know, to provide clarity to the team member of what is expected of him.
Mm.
99% of people, the bosses, they themselves are not clear and they don't provide that clarity to their team members. While the 1% who succeed and succeed wildly, they are crystal clear kya karna hai. And they ensure that each of their departments are crystal clear of what is expected of them in terms of quality, in terms of pricing, all of those parameters.
Perfect.
Right?
So clarity. I think this is something that translates immediately to your life as well as a person.
Yes. Right?
And the way that you interact with the world around you, clarity in your communication, in your thoughts.
Yes.
Lovely.
Then the second part is your competence, right? Which means that, you know, Indian businesses, sometimes we tend to get in people and we feel, you know, ke sikha lenge, train kar lenge, right? While, of course, you may do that, but constantly checking on your team. Because at the end of the day, if you have to build a scalable large business, you're going to need very, very good people. You have to keep on, you know, evaluating. First, understand what is the competence required, like say for marketing, for product development, for supply chain, for, you know, training, for IT infrastructure, etc. Keep checking on the competence parameters. And more important than that, very aggressively keep on training your team to up their competence.
Interesting.
That because people have to be made.
Correct.
You are never going to get them ready made. Provide them that environment, right? Where it's okay not to know, but it's okay not to know after 3 months also. You see, that was, nahi aata hai, koi baat nahi, seekhte hai. Let us figure out where you can learn it from. So first was clarity. Second is competence. And the third part is, the third C is culture.
Okay.
Right, where it has to, you know, it's a culture that you create, a culture of fun, a culture where, you know, everyone is, you know, in our company, we call it a game, the game culture or the blame culture, right? So I say, boss, I am playing this game of building a $1 billion business and I'm keeping track, you know, the turnover, your profit, etc. is a way of keeping score.
Correct.
Of where you've reached and how far you, it's like I run marathons, right? I just completed a half marathon. So I need to know that, okay, I have crossed the 5 kilometer mark, how much I need to go, and the 10 kilometer mark, how much I need to go. So it's like you build that game culture in your organization where it's like, you know, I like running, right? Now, I get up and go for my runs, not because someone is forcing me, right? So it does not tire me out. Similarly, I tell people that was, if you've come to work, come here to work only if you are going to be able to enjoy it.
Correct.
Kaam to karna hai, ghar chalana hai, right? So, you know,
if you have to do it,
might as well enjoy it. Go to a place and go to a role, go to a company which you are going to enjoy.
Correct.
Over here, if you have come into Jumbo King, guys, let's enjoy this. And as the company grows, everyone grows. And that's how we should be playing this game.
Beautiful.
We're going to take a quick break. See you on the other side. Welcome back. All right, let's jump into the conversation.
So I love this. So getting your culture and getting your competence in terms of your skill set, your ability, and probably the confidence in that competence as well, right? Many people have the ability, but they just don't feel confident enough to put themselves out there.
Correct. Maybe the culture, if you improve it, where, you know, people are not trying, there's no politics in your organization.
Absolutely.
So people are able to express themselves freely.
Now, you know, when you're in a high, you know, powered working environment like you've created also, how do you manage to balance your own life with it? You know, everyone keeps talking about this balance, work-life balance and all these other kinds of balance. How do you manage that?
So I think stumbled upon this, the 5 a.m. club that Robin Sharma speaks about, the book.
Correct.
And my daughter, she was doing some course, which was in the morning. And so I had to just kind of be awake to, she had to go somewhere to do that course. And I was getting up in the morning. I said, what the hell now? Let me not go back to sleep because I have to go and pick her up. And I started reading this 5 a.m. club book by Robin Sharma. And I was super excited. I said, well, this is so cool. And her course was for 4 days only. And in the book, there's a 66-day challenge that he talks about of waking up at 5. Yes. I said, hey, let me do this. So marathoners, not typically we take on these crazy challenges.
Correct, absolutely.
So
we'll see what happens.
So I said, 66 days karna hai. And the first 4, 5, 6 days, I was happy. I was getting up and I would just take a book. I finished reading this book. And now I'm like, main uth to gaya hun, everyone is sleeping. What do I do? Right? And I literally had to start filling in my time. So one of my friends spoke to me about this Art of Living course where they do the, you know, all the Kriya and the, you know, various breathing exercises. I said, chalo, ye join kar lete hain. And that was for 45 minutes. The entire process takes about 45 minutes. So I filled in my 5:15 to 6 with that.
Lovely. So almost 1 hour done.
And then anyway, this was during the lockdown.
Correct.
So 6 to 7 used to be our Zoom class for the online workout session. So I like, chalo, 6 to 7 also taken care of. And then 7 to 8, I would spend time with my family. Right. So Robin Sharma speaks of the mindset, the soul set, the heart set, and the health set. So, you know, so I like, chalo, okay, all the 4 sets are kind of getting taken care of. And the game changer was waking up at 5 a.m.
So that was the main thing. It gave you that ability to do these things.
Absolutely. Because if you do the math, earlier I used to wake up at 8 o'clock, And now I had started getting up at 5 and I put my pen and paper and calculator, and like, was 3 hours a day into 365 days. I actually have one full month extra every year.
Correct.
That's the amount of time that got produced, which I was sleeping.
And but you started sleeping earlier also, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. So if you wake up at 5 a.m.,
12 o'clock, 1 o'clock.
You can't last beyond 10. And so
then how do you say no to like social engagements and things like that? That is the thing that I also face challenges with.
That's a great question. So I love my friends and I love my parties. So this was, you know, the biggest fear when I talk to my friends, hey, join the 5M club. They're like, boss, no, I'm not giving up my social life.
Correct. How
I said,
you?
Boss, I'm here. I'm with y'all. So I flipped it around. I said, okay, it's your birthday. We are going out. Now no one will go home till 5 in the morning. So we are partying the whole night and I say we'll be together till 5 and then I'm going to go home. I'm going to do my morning 2-hour thing and then I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay.
So, you know, I literally got the best of both worlds and I had, you know, this was my way of telling myself that socializing or giving up social life should not be the reason why I don't maintain being a part of the 5M club.
Correct. So social life should be adding to it, but it should not be subtracting these 3 hours that you were getting.
So I absolutely prepare for the day I have to go out and it's going to be a 5 a.m. I am supercharged up. And
then you do your workouts. And now that life has opened up and you're not in lockdown anymore, how has that changed?
So I think this was a good habit that got picked. Now anyway, the days have got filled. And during the lockdown, you should be very boring because 5 baje utke, you have caught up, you finish everything. And what do? You're correct. Sitting at home the whole day. It was even tougher at that time. Now there's so much more to do. So
it's easier right now.
It's easier, much easier. Yes. And my friend, he had one of my running friends. He gave me this, you know, trick where, and even Robin Sharma talks about it. I'd attended one of his live programs where, you know, you can take a power nap. So I take a 22-minute power nap every morning between 8 and 8:22.
Oh, you take a morning power nap?
Yes.
Okay.
22 minutes.
So you finish the morning routine, quick 22-minute power nap, and then you're fresh for the day.
Yes, fresh for the day. And it works wonders. I'm full of energy throughout the day. And you will never see me tired or, oh, this guy woke up at 5, so he's looking sleepy. None of that.
It's a beautiful habit. I'm going to do an episode on this.
The
morning power nap as opposed to your afternoon power nap that most people are...
Robin Sharma does his power naps at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
So, but I think for us as business owners, it's very difficult to do it at 4 in the afternoon. Because there is going to be work.
And meetings are there at that point of
meetings
time.
Meetings are there at that time. And yeah, so I think the morning power work nap, it works as powerfully.
I think it's a very good idea that's there. So apart from that, what happens the rest of the day? How do you have habits or what habits do you follow at work? What habits that you follow?
So I think my life has been full of mentors. There's this guy called Vern Harnish. He is a business coach who... spoke about the power of huddles.
The power of huddles.
The cadence of huddles. So we have a 15-minute morning huddle with our core team every morning from 10 to 10:15.
Okay.
Which becomes a 3-hour weekly huddle every Monday, starting at 10 going up to 1. And then we have a monthly huddle. So every 5th or 6th Monday becomes the monthly huddle. And then we have a quarterly review, which is a 2-day event. So every 2nd Monday of every new quarter becomes the quarterly review. So each of these huddles are designed to meet business objectives. So what we have to achieve over the next 1 year, over the next 1 quarter, over the next 1 month, over the next 1 week, over the next 24 hours. And the entire team is aligned in that fashion. All the 6 departments have clear cut things of what they need to get to by the quarter. And typically in high, fast growth companies, we say for us, every quarter is like a year. Every month is like a quarter. Every week is like a month. That is the pace at which we need to keep on doing our huddles and keep on growing. And then each of these, the senior leadership team, they go and huddle with their team from 10:15 to 10:30.
Interesting. So they will have their own team
huddle. 15 minutes. So you'll see the alignment of the entire work process is happening literally every single day. And everybody is aligning to what has to be done by the end of the quarter.
So there's that whole system in place only on this And there's this clarity of communication right there.
Yes, absolutely. So we say that's how it becomes a game. Because we do this huddle, 15 minutes, and then you are free the entire day. And
how do you deal with this aspect of it, right? I know that you are focused and, you know, like you said right in the beginning of the podcast, that focus was the main word for the company as well. How do you maintain focus for people in the organization? There are lots of company owners who are coming to me and saying, Ash, I don't know, but like the company that, or the people that are working just don't know how to focus on the jobs that they're doing. How do you maintain that?
I think,
you know, with so much distraction happening around it is, social media and all of those things. That
it is a case of birds of a feather flock together. If you are focused, na, and you're getting results, you automatically become an inspiration for your team. So people who will stick with you will be people who, it's like, say, if Apple has a culture of innovation, right? You'll see the most innovative people gravitate towards that company, right? So we are a food company, right? A QSR. So for us, these huddles and discipline and giving the exact same food every single day, every single hour, out of every store that is there, that is what we have to super specialize in.
Correct.
Right. So for us, regimentation, discipline, systems, everything is only about that.
So the mindset of the entire organization has to be around that.
Yes.
The first letter in QSR is quick. So
quick. So what I have seen is there have been people, mishires, people who have come and they just did. That's where the culture part of the C's, competence, clarity, culture, the culture part of the organization. So like for us, all of us in our company, we wear white shirts to work every single day. Now that is boring, right? But so I tell people that, no, our staff at the stores are in uniforms and we are all going to be in field inspecting or doing our, you know, what we do when we go out into the field. We can't be seen in t-shirts. So if you are a part of a retail organization, there will be a certain dress code which has to be followed. Correct. Walmart, as in, you know, Sam Walton used to famously say, if you want to be in retail, as in, if you can't work weekends, don't be in retail.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you can't work all the time, don't be in a restaurant, right?
That's what
I know people who started.
If you can't work long hours.
Like, no, I don't have any personal time. I was like, yeah, but then do you realize this before you start a restaurant?
Yes.
You should realize
that. Realize that now, you can get out of it.
Before getting to the restaurant, there's an interesting question I had for you, which is that imagine you had this opportunity right now to talk to the people who are working in various organizations. So I'm not talking about entrepreneurs right now, but people who are working in different organizations. What are two or three tips that you would give them on, you know, how they can work better or work more focused or align themselves and think of their job as play or a game instead of, you know, a chore that they have to do?
So, Ashton, it's amazing how, you know, companies, they have an ambition and an aim for themselves, right? Like, we want to become a billion-dollar corporation, right? And there is a business plan, whether it will take 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, whatever that thing may be, and where we want to get in 5 years, where we want to get by the next year, by the next quarter. And everyone in the company, the professionals, are supposed to align to that. So we took a very different route. We said, so, you know, we just had a training program where, you know, so I was talking to my department heads. I said, hey, now for the next 1 hour, na, hum company ko bhool jate hain. You as a professional, you have selected marketing, you have selected finance, someone else had selected supply chain, someone else selected training. I said, it's now only about you. Let us make a life plan for you. And if anything and everything was possible, what would you design your life as? It was a very, you know, a different way of looking at it. And so I'll take the example of the marketing person, right? So she said that, so, you know, people are scared actually to even think about such
things. Yeah, it's a scary thing. You can't think of it.
They have come so far in life without having a clear plan for themselves. Yes. They're always aligning with what the company wants. So she said that, no, I would want to be the CMO, the chief marketing officer of the company. So I said, wow, that's great. Very nice. Which company?
Oh, so it's like full stumps.
So like, you don't have to be a part of Jumbo King only.
Correct.
So she said, no, why are you asking me that? I said that, no. So when you want to be the CMO, let's be open. Now it's only about you. She said that, no, if Jumbo King is wanting to become a billion-dollar organization, I would want to be worthy of becoming a CMO of a company like this. So I said, great. So, which means that there is an alignment between your personal ambition for yourself and the ambition that the company has for itself, right? Now, let us chart out what skills and competence you will need to acquire over the next 1 year, over the next, 3 years, because the company is going to grow at a certain pace.
Correct.
Right? So, what are the skills you will have to acquire so that if after 2 years, 3 years, when the pool is going to open up and we are going to be able to pay a lot more for the CMO, right? You should be the number one person who is ticking all the boxes when it comes to applying for that. So
I
go
don't
and
need to look outside. It's right here. With
go, let's see how does the CMO think? How do they talk? How do they dress up? What do they do? So network, figure out, CMO banne ke liye kya kya chahiye hota hai. I think so. What was happening was that it was a lot of very genuine, heartfelt conversation which was happening where we were just saying that, everyone has to win.
Correct.
When this race reaches, the destination that it wants to. So I think now this is, you ask me what professionals should do. I think the professionals should have a plan for themselves and then go and join a company which will help them fulfill that plan and then work very, very hard. See, I may want to play for India, cricket for India, but I will also have to then prepare accordingly.
Yes.
Right?
So
put in that effort. So am I willing to do it, or it's just that everybody wants to play but are not willing to put the effort? So as a professional, treat it in the same way.
That's very interesting. It's almost like thinking of yourself as a business. Right? It's almost like Dheeraj Private Limited, Ashton Private Limited. Yes. And you're creating the same goals and direction the way that a company would structure it for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that was part one with Dheeraj Gupta. Make sure you join in for part two, where we continue this amazing discussion.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I am Ashton Doc on Twitter and Instagram. You can find lots more information on my website, awesome180.com, or check out different content on my YouTube channel called AWESOME180. That's Awesome 180.